Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
And good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I am Tom Gould. I'll be your host for this evening. Usually it's Roman Karpyshka, but he is on assignment, if you will, and won't be with us tonight. But this show is called Medium Insights, where we will, the second Thursday of every month, we talk to mediums about their experiences and questions that you might have for them. You, of course, can call in if you would like, but there will be no readings tonight. So if you call in, you can ask a question, but we are just talking about mediumship. And tonight our guest will be Bobby Allison. Bobby Allison is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. Like her mother, grandmother, and three sisters, she was born with an enhanced intuitive abilities, and she honed these abilities by practicing positive meditation and studying spirituality. She's been featured on radio and television and is a natural teacher. In addition to her mediumship abilities, she has the unique ability to relay messages from master guides through automatic writing. She is also a remote viewer, enabling her consciousness to be transported to locations of missing items and people, and has helped law enforcement. Bobby has shared her gifts with numerous charitable organizations, and she can be found at her website, www.bobbyallison.com. Now, she spells that BOBBIALLISON.com. And looking forward to speaking with her tonight. How are you doing, Bobby?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You know what? Let's get right into it, because tonight's program is that the topic is empathy. And so let's jump in and ask a question. When you do your readings, do you feel emotions and physical sensations from spirits? And do you think that all mediums are empathetic in this way?
I do, but I do not believe that every medium suffers the way some do. Some people that aren't mediums do have empathy and feel pain and feel emotions and suffer with this, you know, vastly. And for me, you know, it takes practice, I think, through the years so that you can learn how to separate yourself from the person you're sitting with emotions and the spirit that's coming through. But sometimes, you know, they just pour it on because they want to get their message through in such a heartfelt way. You may be taking on not only the person that's sitting in front of you, but the spirit that's coming through you. You know, you're healing both sides, because you're healing, you know, maybe some horrific event that may have happened between them, maybe the littlest thing or the biggest thing. So I do believe that, yes, mediums do feel, but some have perfected the way, perfected it so that they don't have to feel it intensely.
Now, interestingly, in that you use the word suffer, and that brings to mind a question. Is it generally a arduous, difficult experience to do a reading, or not?
Well, like I said, some people that don't even read have this, and they don't know how to deal with it through life. So a lot of times they take it on themselves, if they're near people, picking up people's emotions and pains and thinking it's theirs, they go through life suffering and thinking they're depressed or they have something wrong with them, and it's always affecting them in different ways, whether it be physical, mental, emotionally. And I feel like, you know, some people say it's a curse, and some people say, if you will, curse, if you will, some people say it's a gift. And I think that if one understands it and understands protection and how to release it after each reading or even after being around people that are having some sort of, you know, particular negative event in their life, and you learn how to perfect protection and cleansing, and I think that, you know, it really should be explained better, I think, out there in the spiritual world, because a lot of people that I do sit with, you know, they explain these things to me, and they're like, I don't even know what this is, what I have. And they may not be a medium or practice mediumship, but they may have a touch of it, or maybe, you know, a deeper insight on some things.
Interesting you phrase it in that way, because I've been told that pretty much everybody kind of has this ability, and yet it's either been trained out of them by social mores, or that they haven't developed it, but that do you believe that it's something that's sort of an innate ability that some people can develop, even though they
don't? Well, yes, I do. Not to cut you off, but I believe that we're all born with, you know, intuitiveness, psychic, if you will. Some people don't like that word, some people do. But I think that we all have it in us. And I think that once speech became part of the human way, you know, think about before there was even speech, it was mental telepathy. People communicated with their mind, which is the third eye, if you will. And I think over time, as we stopped using that third eye or the intuitive gut, and went on to then, you know, the grunting and then the speech, I think that that closed up. So that particular muscle wasn't used anymore. So people had to rely now on their senses. So the senses are heightened in some people. Some people, you know, you grow up in certain religions. Not that I'm against religion, because I'm not. Certain religions in certain ways. And sometimes people kind of poo-poo it and don't let the children speak their mind, and, you know, what are you talking about? Don't believe that, or, you know, don't say that in my house, that type of thing. When these children, you know, have the innate ability to just speak their mind, and if they see spirit or if they feel, you know, others' pain, there actually brings to mind, there's some videos on Facebook of children that are affected by, like, a baby crying, it'd be like a 2-year-old or 3-year-old, wanting to reach out, to touch, to caress, to hug, and can feel the emotion of their little brother or sister, or something they're watching on TV, or a song that's emotional on the radio. I've seen these videos, and it just amazes me that it just shows how we all are born with it. And yes, to answer your question, some people, you know, they don't enhance that ability, so they kind of suppress it. And then later on, if you're meant to be the medium or the intuitive or the psychic or the healer, then you have to kind of like meditate just to open up that part of your brain or the third eye, and so that you can perfect it, if you will.
Yeah. So when did you first know that you had these abilities?
Well, you see, when you grow up in a household where other people have the intuitiveness or the psychic or whatever it may be, you don't really think that you're different because it's not frowned upon, so it's just open and airy and grand and great. But what happens is life around you, school, kids, you know, your friends, family and such, so you have to kind of keep a cap on it, because what happened to me when I was younger is I used to have visions of, like, people at school, like I would know who was going to be there and who wasn't. The phone would ring, I would know who it is. But to me, I didn't think that I was different because it always was. I didn't realize that I was different until I was about 12 years old, when my friends started to shun me and be like, you're mother hen, we're not taking you with us. You always say what's going to happen and we don't want to know. But it was always me protecting them from things that were going to be bad if they were doing something. You know, kids, you know, doing things that you're going to get in trouble for. And I'd be like, oh, no, don't do that because this. And then when it would happen because they wouldn't listen, they would be like, you know what, you're like a mother hen. Like, just, you're not coming with us on this adventure. And so I started to see that I was different, but I didn't understand why they weren't like me.
Interesting. We're going to take our first break. And on the other side of the break, I want to delve into your, you've got quite a an array of people in your family who are also gifted. So I'd like to go with that. But we're going to take our first break at this time. We'll be right back.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perissetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Ryan Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And we're back on Signs of Life Radio. This is Medium Insights. I'm your host, Tom Gould, and we're talking tonight with Bobby Allison, Forever Family Foundation certified medium. If you want to call in and ask Bobby a question, there will be no readings tonight, but you can certainly ask a question about mediumship and anything related to that. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Before we took a break, we were talking about the early days of Bobby's experience, and we learned at the top of the show that she, her mother, grandmother, and three sisters have enhanced intuitive abilities. And I wanted to know about that. Were they, any of them, working mediums?
Nope, none of them. They won't do it. I actually have, you know, extended family, like all my nieces and nephews are very psychic, and, you know, so I'm trying to groom them to let them know that it's okay to feel the things. I have a niece who's very much, she has the empathy, I call it an empath, mm-hmm. and it's been, you know, treacherous through her life since she's a little girl, picking up people's depression and people's, you know, general maladies. I mean, bad, like to the point that it's so hard to get somebody to believe that it's not their stuff. And I have one sister who is very much like myself, and she refuses to use it because of whatever reasons. She doesn't really have the reasons. But hopefully she'll get to the point one day that she will use them. So we come from a line of healers, intuitives, psychics, empaths. We do have, on the religious side of it, my grandmother's cousin was Padre Pio, so for people who are on the Catholicism side of it. So going down the family line, there's been, like I said, through the years, all different types of, you know, healing modalities and abilities. And I believe that when you read somebody, that's just another form of healing. So, you know, calling yourself a healer, you know, a teacher, whatever, it's you know, it's all the same the way I see it. But, you know, my sisters, they just, I don't know. Some people just aren't meant to do it, I guess, as life work. And some people just use it at the particular jobs that they choose. And then people are drawn to them. Like, I have one sister that works for the town. And just all these different people come in and they sit and they chat, they talk, and they say, you know, I you helped me so much. Thank you so much. And they're just attracted to her light. So she chooses to use it in that way. I have another sister that talks to people on the phone, you know, family, friends, and acquaintances, and they go to them, go to her when they have issues. So, again, it's in the way that you choose to use it. I chose to use it this way because that was the way I felt like I needed to let it out, and it was better for me rather than having the anxiety and the panic attacks and all that. So that was just my, you know, way of releasing it. So we'll see what happens with the kids.
Yeah, and I've been sort of noticing that there seems to be more people able to do this or around that are doing it. Do you think that it's, there is a growing number of people able to do these things?
Well, like I said before, we're all born with it. And I believe that the veil is getting thinner to the other side. So more people are experiencing all of these different, you know, healing ways and visions and dreams and, you know, apparitions, if you will, and they don't know what to do with it. So that's why I think more spiritual teachers are coming out of the woodwork. I mentor so many people, you know, to teach them to just protect themselves and to, you know, get onto some type of course or some type of meditation or, you know, go to Forever Family, learn, and just be aware of it so that when you have that experience, you're able to deal with it rather than to run from it. Because I ran from it for many years when the mediumship started, when spirit started to come to my energy, and I was, you know, just overwhelmed with anxiety because their vibration was so fast, and I was in a very, you know, low place at that point in my life and didn't know how to take that experiment. And then when I started to learn about it and read about it and go to meditation classes and raise my vibration, then I was able to accept it more. So on, you know, the vast majority of people will finally seek out and ask questions eventually. They could go through it for years, but I have people that, you know, like have been on the path, oh, I picked up this book, or I always say this, when the student is ready, the teacher shall come.
Yes.
And when they're ready to hear it and to acknowledge it, some people run from it, they don't want it, they're afraid of it. But when you explain it to them in such a way that they're not afraid of it, then they're more apt to open up and to accept the gift. And we all have different gifts, just not everybody opens up the packages. I tell that to all my clients. Everybody has a gift. Nobody's better than one another. We all are the same. We just are at different levels. I tell everybody, nobody walks in front of you or behind you. Everybody, we walk side by side in unity. And we just help each other to experience these things on different levels. Somebody might have been here, you know, if you're talking about past lives, somebody might have been here more times than another, and they're just learning, you know, that to go down that particular path. But again, we all have it, and it's the veil is getting thinner. There's new shifts in energy, the earth and astrology and all of that, which that's another whole show. I don't really know too much about it, but I have a good friend, JoJo, who explains things to me when I need to know on that type of level. So it's pretty unique. It's pretty cool that we're able to actually even speak about this stuff now and make people aware that energy goes on and the scientific side of it that Forever Family delves into and, you know, can help people and bring some certain sort of trust.
Yes, and I've experienced firsthand how the healing that can come with a reading is just tremendous for people. And we've come across a couple of words, and of course we're living in a world where people, as you mentioned before, are fearful of what you do, and you know the fact that you do it at all raises concerns for people. And you did talk about learning to protect yourself, let's hone in on that a little bit to clarify. When you say protect yourself, I take it to mean protect yourself from too many spirits trying to communicate all at once and that you're just overwhelmed. Or some people might say, oh, you have to protect yourself from the evil that's out there. Do you, before you learned how to protect yourself, as you mentioned, first of all, are you protecting yourself against evil, and have you experienced anything that's scary in that regard, or are you just talking about protecting yourself for your own personal space?
There's three types. There's protection from the people that you're around every day in life, because let's face it, some of them can be scary, their energy.
They're more scary than the spirit,
yeah.
I imagine.
So when you get up in the morning and you put your feet on the floor and you get out of bed, you put yourself in a big, huge bubble of white light. Whatever you call God, omnipresence, Buddha, just the energy, the love, whatever it may be, that's something, that higher power than yourself, you want to put yourself in that big bubble of light. Like Glinda the Good Witch came down and she was in that bubble of protection. You want to do that so that you protect yourself. And what I say every day is I surround myself in the white light, I either say of the Holy Spirit or the omnipresence, and you want to say so that no negativity can penetrate. So this way you're covered when you're walking outside your door, when you're going shopping, when you're in a reading, and also especially at night when you go to sleep, because there's something called psychic attack. And it sounds a little worse than it is, maybe for some people. Myself, I never experienced that, but I can tell you that members of my family, including my mother, have experienced when an energy maybe isn't the nicest and they kind of paralyze you in your alpha state and they don't let you know they're there, but you can't talk, you can't scream, you can't move. What they are there for, I don't know. There's no like rhyme or reason what they were going to do or what they did, whether it be good or bad. It was just a scary thing, they weren't able to move. So I would say, in order not to have those things happen, you're really protecting yourself. They're all lower level energies that are caught between worlds, if you will, or maybe they are evil. I don't know, but that might be a harsh word, but you must protect yourself every day so that you don't have to worry about those things. And when you open up and you're reading other energies and you're accepting spirit to come through you, remember there's all different levels of that. So when you read, you have to say, I will only read people that are on whatever level they decide they don't want to be. Like I say, on level 3 and up. Like, I don't want low-level energies because they tend to stay with you because they're looking for a voice. They're looking for help. They're looking for guidance. Maybe they crossed and they don't know how to find their way to where they're supposed to be. So they want to stay in the in-between world. And if they see you as a beacon of light, they sort of attach to you and they may use you as their voice. But maybe some of their intentions aren't the nicest or the best, or maybe they're sad. And that goes back to what we were talking about before about people getting things attached to them. So it's always good to do the cleansing where you put the white light around you at night, the pink light for love, cleansing, and you send all the energy through the bottom of your feet and you put it into Mother Earth to transmute it into that light. You could either send it back up to spirit or keep it there. So, excuse me, I believe that protection that way. Some people go and they use stones, gems, sage. There's all different forms of protection. It just goes by what you feel in your gut you need to do. Some people say a prayer before they read. Some people light incense. Some people do the sage. So there's all different things. And I think any of that stuff that the focus is going on protecting, that is going to be the protection. So it doesn't really matter, I don't think, what form you choose, as long as you do one of them so that you protect yourself.
Wow. Another thing, I understand that, you know, everything in the universe is vibrating, whether it's a stone or a mm-hmm. cloud. It's made up of atoms that are constantly moving. So there's a vibration, and I understand that the spirit that you communicate is a higher vibration, obviously, than we hear on the physical. And as a medium, you have to raise your vibration to meet them halfway. And my question is, how exactly, or what do you do to get your vibration to a level that you're ready to receive?
Okay, so that's pretty simple, and I tell this to a lot of people as well. The way that you raise your vibration is through meditation. And meditation, of course, comes in many forms. When I spend a weekend with the Tibetan monks up in the original Woodstock, New York, they taught you there's walking meditation, there's guided meditation, there's peaceful meditation where you're chasing all the thoughts out of your mind. There's meditation that you can think of a certain thing. You can meet your guides. There's all different types, but any type is good, because what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to connect to your higher self, and then you're allowing your vibration to be raised, which is really kind of like a higher consciousness connecting to a higher vibration, the energetic vibration that you were talking about before. And once you get there, you don't go back down. You know, your vibration can get lower from, you know, different things that you're going on in your life, but you'll always go back to that comfort level where you allowed yourself to grow through. So raising the vibration through meditation is the best. Whatever form of meditation you choose, yoga, meditation, there's kundalini, there's all different types of things that you could do to raise it. As long as you're quieting your mind and you're attaching to your higher self and your guides, you're raising your vibration. Some people, before they do readings or healing sessions, they will do some type of meditation to get in their zone, to invite in whomever they need to invite in to get to their next level, and they feel like they need to do that before each reading. Myself, because I've been doing it since 98, I don't do that anymore, to be honest with you. I protect myself in the light, and I just pick up the phone. I do a phone session, and somebody could be, I read all over the world. It could be in, you know, Australia, wherever. And I just, the information is just there. But I trust and have faith that my vibe will stay there just by me doing my protection every morning and every night. And then, of course, the occasional saging. And I do used to, like, light a white candle and just ask, you know, for that protection. But then I said, I'm not going to be fearful and have faith at the same time. You can't have those in the same sentence. I'm going to have faith and stay in the right focus that my guides are going to always protect me and not have to worry about, you know, any of that other stuff. So I just kind of just do it and have been doing it for a long time. But I do suggest people raise your vibration if you want to speak to the other side. You do not need a medium to get validation or to get signs from the other side. All you have to do is have trust, have the connection with them by thought, creating the thought in your mind, allow that person to come to you, and you could get a pen and paper, you can light the white candle, and you can ask them to give you words, you can ask them to give you inspiration, you can ask them to give you a specific sign that you choose so that you know that you have that personal connection with them.
And sometimes people come to mediums and they expect to, or they're hoping to hear from one particular person, and that doesn't always happen. What do you say to people like that who were go away okay. disappointed? They may have heard from six different family members, but if they didn't hear from the one person, or if they didn't get the
sign, sometimes they're not ready to. Sometimes they're not ready. No, it's not about getting ready too early. Sometimes they're not ready to hear from the person. Sometimes that person's not available. Sometimes that person, if you believe in reincarnation, has come back into life. I don't know the reason all the time, but my thing is when clients come to me, I always try to tell them beforehand, if there's a person that you want to speak to, do not discount all the others. They may be giving you the gift of the person that you want to speak to, but in your mind, not out loud, you tell the person to push through all those people if they're there. And most times that works. It almost like opens up a doorway to the connection that you had, and then they'll be able to come through. Why sometimes they don't come through, I have no answers for that. I've asked, are they there? And if I don't see them, I'm certainly not going to sit there and make up, you know, anything for the person just to make them feel better. Like, yeah. They didn't come through. Sometimes they'll come through for 5 minutes, but maybe the person wanted to hear from them the whole time, but the other souls were stronger. Maybe they're learning how to do it. Maybe they didn't learn everything yet. So sometimes they're there observing. Sometimes it's just their presence and knowing they're there by giving how they pass and just their name, but they didn't know how to go forward with anymore. Maybe they're learning. There's lots of different reasons, I would think. I'm not there, so I don't know, but that's the best that I can answer that I can give based on what they've told me. Other mediums may have other answers. I don't know.
Yeah, and then you mentioned earlier that there's levels. A lot of people figure, well, once you die, then you know everything and you're all powerful or whatever. But it's just another level, and you're learning on that side as well. So I guess a lot of spirit needs to learn how to send their energy back here.
Yeah, well, I think that we think about the ultimate judgment, and really the ultimate judgment is of ourselves. And we go to the room of reflection, as I call it, and we review the life that we just went through, and we say, did we do good? We have to feel everyone's emotions, good, bad, and indifferent, of what we gave out in a flash, in time, in a millisecond, even quicker. You feel everything you gave out, and then you judge yourself. So you put yourself on a certain level, like saying, okay, I'm going to come back to another lifetime and I want to experience this because I didn't do so good maybe with this, so I want to experience that. So, you know, that's, like I said, that's another whole belief, and there are some people that don't believe in that, and that's fine because maybe they're not supposed to believe in that this lifetime. And you have to be open to any possibilities. I mean, energy lives on forever. So when you have the other side, if you will, in, you know, infinity forever, it takes longer to learn. So you incarnate in a vehicle vessel as the human body and probably other types of bodies out there and whatever, the Milky Way, and you experience emotions. And people think like there's only like 5 to 7 emotions. Meanwhile, there's hundreds. there's so many emotions that run through every atom, every vessel, everything in our body, and everything connects to the whole, the omnipresence. And we give feedback to not only to other people on the other side that are watching us. They say that our twin soul, if you will, or whatever, significant other, never incarnates with us. And we give feedback to that other energy that we're connected to on the other side in our higher self. And it's all like data, and it's processed. For what reason? I guess we'll learn when we go there. But I do know that I can't explain everything, and I don't think I want to know everything. Yeah. When I get to the other side, I know that everything will be answered, and I know that we live on, because there's no way that I could have somebody sit in front of me or on the phone that may give a fictitious name. I don't know them, you know, didn't make the appointment, my assistant doesn't, and just to be able to bring through energies that they were attached to is amazing to me. Like, I walk away going, oh my goodness, like,
yeah.
I'm so honored to be able to talk to them. And then we get into the quantum physics of things, and that's another show as well that you guys should probably touch on, because a lot of people are talking about this now, and about it's going into different levels and different shifting and energy in the earth, and she's cleaning herself up, and, you know, the atoms, and they're very smart, and then you got the quantum, oh my God, it goes on and on and on. And we learn so much when we're here, but it's really just an awakening of things that we came knowing. But you got the veil there that blocks you from knowing everything, because then you wouldn't have the raw emotion when you're going through the lessons in life and learning.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we've come up to our second break. This is moving along nicely tonight. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk much more about Bobby and what she's doing these days. Stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at ForeverFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Medium Insights on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking tonight with Bobby Allison, the Forever Family Certified Medium. A couple of things that I'd like you to know about. We've got our Earth Day raffle coming up, where you can buy raffle tickets to win readings with certified mediums. It's called the Earth Day raffle because the raffles are going to be drawn on Earth Day, April 22nd, which is only just a couple of weeks away. It's a good way to get yourself a reading. Anything that I'm talking about can be found on the Forever Family Foundation website at www.foreverfamilyfoundation, all as one word, .org. And there you can see the upcoming things. We have free afterlife discussion groups around the country, an exciting webinar program that we started up just about a year or so ago, and it's been very successful, where you can learn about this from the comfort of your own home. And, of course, our signature summer grief retreat is in Chester, Connecticut, on the weekend of July 26th through 28th with the mediums Suri Bernston, Rebecca Ann LoCicero, and Joe Scheel, along with featured facilitator Dr. Mo Hanna. It's a wonderful weekend, and it can do a world of good in the healing and helping with grief. Now, before we took our break, we were talking about raising vibrations, and Bobby was telling us about meditation. And during the break, she mentioned something that is very close to my heart. And you want to tell the people out there what we were talking about, Bobby?
Yes, because when we were talking on the break, my guides came in and said, "You forgot to talk about the music." So I said, "Oh, yes, I did." So another way some people oftentimes say, "I don't know how to meditate. I try, and I just can't stop my mind from racing and thoughts from coming in. It just doesn't work." So music is the key. Any type of music, humming bowls, or they're called singing bowls, there's flutes, there's Native American music, there's classical, there's jazz. It raises your vibration the fastest. If you cannot quiet your mind, go to the music, put on your iPods or put it on in the home, lay down 5 minutes, close your eyes, and just let the music take your mind to another place. I've watched, like, some people at, you know, when you go to, like, these seminars and they play the healing music, and it's just amazing what music can do. Music, as we know, is a universal healer. So they've now, I see that they use it in hospitals after people come out of operations. They put the headphones on people, and it really speeds up healing. It has to do with the vibration, because on the other side, there's so many beautiful tones and notes, and the music is phenomenal. And, you know, you can only hear it, obviously, if you're there. And since I had that near, I didn't have a near-death experience, but I had a near-death experience-like. And I didn't even know that that was possible until Robin Murray, who is a volunteer for Forever Family Foundation, we came a little close, and she came to do a seminar or a talk one night, and I never knew that was there. And I heard these tones when I visited the other side in a healing session. And I never understood it until she explained to me about the NDE-like, and then I put it together with what my guides told me, and the music is really so important in life. That's why mothers that are pregnant put it on, the headphones on their bellies for the children to have the higher IQ, and it just heals all different things in life. Just like when you're sad, you put on music and it pumps you up. And some people that maybe need to release emotions, they put on something sad so they're able to cry and release. People that are going out are happy. You're out with your friends, maybe in a bar or restaurant, and you're listening to a band. You get happy. It brings so many emotions out, but it raises the vibration, and that's the most important key.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, as I say, I'm a musician, and I fully concur. I was talking to you in the break about how I had a problem with my foot, and there was a point where I could barely walk, but I went to see a friend's band play, and they invited me up to sing, and I sang three songs, and I'm jumping around on the stage, and I get off the stage, and it was like, oh, wait, my foot's supposed to be hurting. So it's.
And my guides just said what they said, the last sentence that they just made me say, the music is key. They said, pun intended.
Oh, yeah, pretty good. Nice
they
to
they
know
crack
still
me up.
A sense of humor on the
oh,
other
yeah.
side.
Oh, yeah, are you kidding me? They
oh, absolutely.
Are the funniest. They are. They love, like, some spirits that come through like to sing and dance while their person's in there all upset and crying, and they're behind them doing all these funny, silly things, trying to get me to laugh or me to stay, like, my vibration to raise, to kind of distract me from theirs, as you would talk about picking up their stuff. So, but yeah, music will get you to a place where you'll be able to raise your vibration and meet your loved ones, if you will, you know, at a better place, and you won't get the anxiety and the panic and the fear like I had my whole life.
Mm. Well, I don't want to let the time run out without talking about what you're up to, where people can see you. You have some events coming up that...
I do. I am a very big... I am very big into fundraising, and in particular, Ronald McDonald House is one near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. I actually sit on the advisory board for the fundraising section, and we do that every year. That's in November, and that's for the Ronald McDonald House, Long Island. And I've asked some of my buddies, some of my girls, so we all do it, Kim, Laura, Gina, Nancy. Now we have another one that has recently come to us and asked me to help with them. It's called the Unsung Siblings, and that is for we're raising money for, well, they are. They have a 501(c). They're raising money for the veterans, and they need assistance. So they train these dogs to go and help out, you know, disabled vets. And it costs like $25,000 per dog. So on May 23rd, on Long Island, from 6 to 11, at the, it's called the Inn in New Hyde Park.
Uh-huh.
I think that's it, the Inn. It's on my website, actually, the flyer. We're going to be doing big gallery reading there. There's going to be, I have a lot of other friends, astrologer, numerologists. They'll be doing separate readings in another room. But it's going to be me, Kim Russo, Laura Lynn Jackson, Gina Simone, and Nancy D'Erasmo.
Wow.
And myself, and we'll be doing that. And then Gina and I, we got together, and we do the Dynamic Duo, and that'll be on June 2nd in Smithtown at the Holistic Center for Soulful Healing, and that's in Smithtown on Jericho Turnpike, and again in November for the Ronald McDonald House. So these things will all be on my website, and I wish that people would come out and support. They do not take a salary, and we do not take a dime. We don't even see the money. It goes all to the foundation. And they also have, like, the Unsung Siblings is also, they give a little bit to autism, and I believe, and they do separate ones as well. They do, like, a casino night as well. And they do for, I forget what the other thing is, autism. There's three different things, but you could just look it up. And but it's going to be wonderful, and there's limited seating, though, because there's only certain amounts they can hold. So just to keep everybody abreast of the situation and thanking everybody that comes out and always supports us.
Yeah, and again, go to www.BobbyAllison, as one word, and that's BobbyAllison.com, and those events will be there. You just named off some of the best mediums I've ever seen. We'll be in one room together. It's just, it'll be quite a great experience. And, of course, the causes that you're supporting are tremendous.
Yeah, I just figured, like, bring all my friends together. We've all been friends, you know, for many, many years, all certified mediums, except Nancy. She's not just yet. I don't think she's gone that route yet, but she's been doing this for longer than all of us. And I just thought, like, why just me? Why not let me ask my friends, and then we could all do this in unity, and, you know, they all have a name, and bring people in so that these veterans and these children and their families with the Ronald McDonald House and such can really, you know, benefit from the money that goes there. So, you know, it's all good stuff, and I believe that wherever we're led is where we're supposed to be, and so be it. And, you know, give back love and light and, you know, give from the heart.
That's great. I'm just curious, you know, you've done group readings as opposed to individual readings. Is it more difficult in a group, or does the spirit tend to hone in, or you have a way of just listening to the one spirit? How does that work?
Well, I think that when you're in the open group, of course it's harder because you have so many energies pulling you in different directions. And I think when you do it for so many years and you get used to being, it's almost like being directed. It's like they just pull you to the person. And then the general area, like having discernment to know which area that you're going to go to. And then once you go there and you start giving names and you start listening to spirit or allowing, in my case, I don't really question and listen like, you know, Kim questions everybody and then Laura has the timelines. I don't do it like that. I just, they plug in and it just flows. Mm. It's just like a plug in, and I just, they direct me, tell me when to stop, and then it'll be like this person or that person, and you just go. And yes, there'll be other energies trying to pull me, so they tell me, back of the room. They just scream at me, sort of, like, back of the room, to the left, to the right, no, stay here.
Huh.
So they tell me, kind of, it's almost like they're the director, and they're telling me which way to go. I don't have much time to sit and to question and to ask 50 things. A lot of the times they tell people what they want to hear, past, present, and future, but it's always the loved one that's giving the information. And
yeah.
My thing through life was, I never really recognized to reiterate, your grandmother is the one that's giving you the psychic information. I would just start telling them psychic stuff, and some people would get confused and be like, oh, that's more psychic. No, your loved ones here, they're the ones that are giving you that information. So when that stuff happens, you'll know that they gave it to you and they were looking forward in your life. They gave you something from the past, something from now, and then certainly something from the future. And that's what becomes so popular when people come to me. They're like, I want the mixture of both. And I'm like,
yeah,
you got it.
I agree with that. And I've got 16 more questions I wish I could ask, but we are at the end of our time, believe it or not. I don't want to go away without thanking you from the bottom of my heart, because I have seen the great, great healing that you are able to bring by sharing what you've been given, and I so appreciate that. And this has been a wonderful hour with Bobby Allison and the Forever Family Foundation in Medium Insights. Come back next Thursday at 8 for Mediums and Messages, and that then you will get to call in for readings. But for now, I just want to close by saying that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Good night.
Thank you.